For nearly 3 weeks now, relatives of the Chinese passengers on the Malaysian Airlines flight have been hoping for a miracle. Hopes were dashed Monday with Malaysia's confirmation that the plane did go down in the remote part of the southern Indian Ocean. VOA's Bill Ide has the report from Beijing.
After 17 days of riding an emotional roller coaster, the grief for many was too much to bear. Paramedics were on hand at Beijing's Lido Hotel, where many Chinese families have been gathered since the plane went missing in early March. After hearing the news, several were taken away on stretchers. Amid the anguish, some family members lashed out at journalists. As one family member cries, another yells at a reporter, telling him to stop asking questions. China's state-run CCTV broadcaster said some hurled water bottles at video journalists standing nearby. The scene at the hotel was chaotic, with many crying and wailing, and some collapsing. The mystery of the plane's disappearance has captured the world's attention, and with Chinese citizens accounting for most of the passengers, the public here has been watching and waiting, hoping that somehow, some way, those on board might still be alive. On China's social media sites, some were already calling for the Chinese government to mark a national day of mourning for those on board MH370. Following the announcement, a brief statement by China's foreign ministry demanded the Malaysia government provide more evidence and information to support its findings. The statement also said China hopes other countries will keep searching for the missing plane. A posting on the social media site of the newspaper of the Communist Party noted many questions remain. The post said that until the black box is found, search and rescue efforts cannot stop. The posting pressed for more clarity about evidence that the plane had crashed and an explanation of the new satellite data. Bill Ide, VOA News, Beijing.
We now welcome to Daybreak Asia on the Voice of America Dr. Eric Fisher, a psychologist specializing in grief counseling. Dr. Fisher, what factors are leading to the anger described by Bill Ide in his report?
Well, I think we have to look at that grieving in Chinese culture is a sacred experience, and that for this situation, we have to look at a few factors. One is there's not a lot of trust potentially towards the Chinese media because so many of the stories are altered or potentially manipulated as to what information they share. But also there's a growing mistrust with how the industry handled this for Malaysia. And is there information that was withheld from the families? And they felt like while some were using the media to get more information, I think many of them felt that their lives were very much intruded on at this very sacred time and very difficult emotional time.
What are they feeling now beside what you would imagine, just sorrow, just grief, and what's the best way to handle this?
Well, it's very well possible that they may feel used and very hurt by this experience, that, again, you have people who have felt exhausted through this experience, waiting for any sign of proof of life and or proof of death. So while sometimes there's a relief as that comes, there's still no solid evidence that these family members have perished. And we as humans often want that physical closure. Even as part of their grieving ritual and their funeral rituals, part of that is having a body to mourn and grieve over. So there are a number of emotions that they're feeling that go far beyond just the grieving experience.
This has been a very long waiting time for them. If indeed the stories that we hear are true, that the plane has crashed and all are dead, and that is likely and most probable, probably the reality of what has happened. Has the length of time they have been forced to wait have anything to do with this?
I believe in part it has. Plus, it's given a lot of time, like I said, for the media coverage to continue. For people to have that sense of exhaustion and fatigue, for them to have their hopes up and then hopes down, and the range of emotions that they've been feeling have in some ways been put through is really something that many of us really can't fathom. The anger, the rage that's being expressed is just part of protective emotions. I always teach people that anger and rage and hatred are protective emotions. When we feel helpless or powerless, we want to often lash out, and we often look for objects to lash out at so that we have meaning, even though often some of our grief is really what we're trying to hide. In Chinese cultures, because they keep emotions so close to the vest, when emotions do come out, they can be sometimes volatile. And the grieving process is one of those opportunities for families really to let their emotions free and also have the ability to put some emotions out there that they normally wouldn't be able to express by cultural ritual or standard.
There are grief counselors on hand at the hotel in Beijing working with these people. They have been working with them. Is there any difference, do you think, or do you know, about the type of grief counseling that is being given out and administered in China as opposed to what would be given or administered here in the United States?
I definitely believe that there's a difference between the grief counseling they do there versus here, because many people don't want to acknowledge their grief. They feel that it's a sign of weakness. So often when if you're doing a westernized type of grief counseling for that culture, they're not going to necessarily be accepting of it. You know, and the other thing that they look at is, how do you grieve differently in that culture for someone who is older than you versus someone who is younger? You don't typically have funeral ceremonies and the ritualistic behaviors that they have for those that are younger. The younger people are supposed to mourn the loss of the older people when they pass on. So there's all these different emotions and situations and rituals to work through that it may be a very difficult situation. You have to look at each individual, see how they would manage and express their grief differently, as well as I said, what the ritual may be.
What do you think these people need beyond time?
I think they need to develop trust in people to guide them through this. There's been such a betrayal of trust from apparently the Malaysian Airlines, the Malaysian government. There's an erosion of trust in that, as well as I said, being raised in a culture where you're not necessarily taught to trust a government that's been in control and in power. So when we don't have trust, we're stuck in states of fear. And when we stay stuck in that state of fear, it's difficult for us to move through much because we're always looking to see how we need to protect ourselves. So if they can develop and maintain the community that they've developed through grieving together and keep those connections, they may at least have that common bond together to help them mourn. However, if that common bond becomes one to seek legal recourse or to continue to have a pulpit to stand on to preach or teach about it, that can complicate the issue. And once again, they may feel betrayed again.
Dr. Eric Fisher, a psychologist in the Atlanta, Georgia area, here on The Voice of America. Thank you, Doctor. Make sure you stay up to date on this story by checking our website at voanews.com.